Authority and Management to implement changes where there's an urgency to act. Let's just add that the way we plan to put them forward is that the business process team will not present a report to the community here, but they will work with the department. They will be presenting reports to the minister as we move forward and we will implement the outcomes of those reports as we move forward. This work that they do will ultimately lead to the department getting a substantially improved reports with the ultimate objective of an unqualified opinions for both the main and trading accounts. Currently, the Chief Financial Officer is responsible for both accounts, and a decision has been taken to split the responsibility and appoint a Chief Financial Officer for the trading accounts as well. We're currently in the process of recruiting incumbents for both of these posts, and the shortlist for the candidates for CFO main accounts has already been approved, and the interviews are due to be scheduled. While we've already identified an individual for the water trading account. I can also just indicate, and I'm sure it will come up under questions, Honourable Chair, around the capacity issues and around the head of department position. That position has also been brought to a conclusion with the interviews already been scheduled for the DDG, the DG position in the department.
Tomorrow.
That's correct. So in pursuance of the objectives of the clean audit, and we believe that we would be able to get this if all goes according to plan for the 2014 reporting year, that will be the 12-13 financial year, we are through the business process re-engineering project. We're seeking to, amongst others, achieve the following. First of all, a short-term reduction in audit queries and long-term elimination of the audit qualifications and the disclaimer of the audit opinion. Secondly, a review of the business model, in particular for the water trading entity, to enhance efficiency and effectiveness. Thirdly, to optimize resource allocation. Fourthly, the strengthening of internal control environment. And lastly, achieving sound regulatory compliance and performance within culture within the organization. So those are some of the intended outcomes from the business reengineering project. At this point in time, we're confident that this project will reposition the department to better meet our service delivery objectives while ensuring good governance and the ultimate attainment of a clean audit. We will, during the course of our presentation this morning, provide details of the following actions: the Finance Improvement Action Plan to deal with the weaknesses identified by the Auditor General, and the Turnaround Plan for the Water Trading Account, as well as the Action Plan to deal with the audit outcome. Both or all three of these plans will be subject to periodic review as we make progress through the implementation of the recommendations of the business process review. What else are we doing? We're currently dealing with the capacity gaps in the senior management level, where 22 posts at chief director and director level will be filled before the end of the year. The recruitment process is well advanced, Honourable Chair, with the shortlisting having been completed and interviews are now starting to be scheduled. We've also entered into an agreement with DBSA to provide funding and technical support for infrastructure development on four areas which we see as critically important, and those relate to knowledge management, regulation, water pricing and water use licensing and the water trading account. So there will be some overlap and essentially the DBSA will be providing support to the work that has been done by the business process review exercise. We're also currently engaging with DBSA to provide resources to improve our program and project management capacity in two of our branches, and that's regions and infrastructure branches. And the program and project management deficiencies in the department were also picked up through the audit process. Honourable Chair, despite all of us, sorry, that was not part of my presentation. So, Honourable Chair, despite the very poor audit outcome, there have, I must say, been many positive achievements during the year under review. And furthermore, we continue to take very seriously our responsibility to ensure that the country's water resources are developed, conserved, and managed in a sustainable and equitable manner for the benefit of all the people of South Africa and for future generations. We also recognize that water is a catalyst for socioeconomic development, and the department, through the water management and regulatory functions, will ensure that the country's drinking water is safe, accessible, and affordable, and that water resources are protected and allocated in a sustainable and equitable manner for socioeconomic development. Let me, Honourable Chair, just highlight a few significant achievements before going into the detail of our presentation. Firstly, the focus of our service delivery program for the year under review was guided by six priority areas identified in the 2010 to 2013 annual performance plan and the performance agreement of the Minister, which is based on the 12 outcomes of government. To effectively facilitate our contribution towards achieving the outcomes, we have established departmental task teams to focus on the delivery agreements to which we as a department contribute. Just reflecting quickly on the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Program, which will be reported on in more detail in the slides, which will follow my opening statement. That program continues to be one of our key focus areas to ensure access to water services. And the program has a bias towards the rural communities, particularly in the provinces of Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, the areas with the greatest backlogs. And I could just also add that coming out of the Cabinet Lekgotla in July this year, that we are working with the Department of Rural Development and also with the human settlements in terms of the focus on the 21 district municipal areas which have been identified as needing the greatest amount of support. We've also contributed significantly to rural development program through the distribution of some 5,740 rainwater harvesting tanks to communities for both household consumption and also for food security. In addition to that, 718 emerging farmers were supported through water tariff subsidies and also irrigation infrastructure. With regard to...
if you want, I see that some of this information is not in the input, but if you look at the strategic overview in the annual report, a lot of that information is here.
Okay, great. Thanks for that,
I think we're going to get a copy of that.
I will organize for copies, which I will...
But I see here this stuff that you were saying is in here.
I've tried to keep my inputs close to the annual report as possible. During the year under review, we've continued with the implementation of seven water resources infrastructure augmentation projects, which are also included in outcome six of the service delivery agreement. Dr. Reuters will take us through in more detail, when we do the presentation around those projects. Further achievements with regard to water resources infrastructure have been the maintenance of our water resources infrastructure, where five national dams and eight conveyance pipelines and canal projects have been rehabilitated. More detail will be provided in the presentation to follow. The backlog of water use authorizations has been an ongoing focus area in the department, and the Letsema initiative, an emergency response intervention which commenced during the year under review, has made significant progress in dealing with the backlogs. And our target is to have those backlogs eliminated by December 2011. But Honourable Chair, we need to note that concurrently with dealing with the backlogs, we are also dealing with current applications. We're also improving the licensing administration system and dealing with the skills and resources required to perform this function going forward. I must also just stress that the figures that we report on when we go through our annual performance are figures that were reflected as of March this year. And as we've reported to you during the various hearings during the current year, we've made great strides and improved the data system which we have in place, so we are able to provide accurate reporting on the on where we are on an auditable basis. Honourable Chair, with regard to corporate governance, we've had to continue to give attention to issues raised as part of the gaps in the 2009-10 financial year audit. The risk management framework, the governance framework, and the compliance frameworks have been approved and these have been implemented. As part of our risk management strategy, we've also approved a fraud prevention policy and a relevant response plan that guides reporting, detection, investigation, and resolving incidents of corruption. In the area of policy adjustments, we've commenced with the projects relating to the review of our legislation, and that covers the three principal acts we work under: the National Water Act, the Water Services Act, and the Water Research Act. The review of the National Water Resources Strategy, we started in the last financial year, and that will be brought to a conclusion during the current financial year. We're also doing a review of current institutional arrangements in order to ensure greater efficiency and effectiveness in the sector. Honourable Chair, following the floods which we experienced during the beginning of the year, and also as a result of breakdowns of infrastructure in municipalities, which impacts on the quality of water in our rivers, we've established a rapid response unit. And that we've established in order for us to place us in a position to respond to water-related crises and emergencies within a shorter period of time. Our approach with regard to the rapid response unit has been informed by substantial intelligence on the vulnerability of municipalities gathered over the last few years. And this information is not just gathered by the department, but was gathered together with the Department of Cooperative Governance. And through the lessons learned in terms of the emergency response facility, which we had in place for some time, the scope of the work we'll do going forward will include responding to crises that result from water and wastewater infrastructure challenges, for example, if there are cholera outbreaks and sewage spillages, augmentation of the department's capacity in responding to disasters, as we managed with the floods, and as we are also dealing with the droughts in the Southern Cape area, although they've had rain since we started that intervention, and of course also pollution of water. Thirdly, it will be designing and implementing proactive interventions aimed at preempting crises before they occur, implementing small capital and refurbishment projects, and utilizing the capacity that the entities reporting to the Minister will also be utilized for intervention activities. Honourable Chair, I thank you for allowing me to make that intervention up front, and I will now move on to the more detailed presentation. Just go to the presentation layout. In terms of the layout, I will just touch on the introduction. Part 2 is the strategic priorities, which I will do. Part 3, the analysis of prevailing strategic and operational plan. Part 4 will be done by Acting CFO, the analysis of the Section 32 expenditure. That, in effect, will be the analysis of the main trading and the main accounts. Then the analysis of the annual report and financial statements, and then we have a number of appendices which we've added, which I referred to in my opening statement as well. So that will be the layout of the presentation. And Dr. Reuters will do the input around the performance on the trading entity, in particular around the infrastructure activities. He will also talk to the seven infrastructure projects which we're implementing, and Matsandeka Mbasa will touch on the projects which have been implemented under the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Program. And then Honourable Chair, the responsibility for responding to questions, we'll do that as a team, and I will delegate individuals to deal with it. Thank you very much, Chair and members. If I could then move on, and I will take cognizance of the introduction that you made, Honourable Chair, in that much of the aspects, or many of the aspects which we deal with in this annual report, which is the period of work for the department up to the 31st of March 2011, has been covered through a number of engagements with the Portfolio Committee. So without derogating from the detail, I will try and speed over some of those items. Like, for argument's sake, the vision and mission, that has been repeated in many of our reports, the annual report, and it appears in our annual plan, annual performance plan, so I'm not going to read through that. In terms of legislation, I've already mentioned the three acts which we work under: the Water Services Act, the National Water Act, and the Water Research Act. The policy framework is the white paper on water supply and sanitation, the white paper on the national water policy for South Africa, the strategic framework for water services, and the national water resources strategy. And if you have the annual report next to you, you will cross-reference those to page 18 of the report. And some of the key policy developments and legislative changes, you'll find in pages 36 to 38 of the report. The public entities and statutory bodies which reported of the department, which I'm not going to repeat in the presentation, you will find the detail of those on pages 19 to 21, and information on the ministry and deputy ministry on pages 22 to 23. All of those are items which we are required to include in our annual report as we present it to Parliament. Then, Honourable Chair, move on to part two, the comparison of the 2009 strategic plan and the 2010-11 annual performance plan. And you will bear with me in that I just put this in up front just to be able to position ourselves moving from the 2009 annual report into the 2010 report, where the 2009 report we had we worked on the basis of what was called then the strategic plan, and in terms of the new guidelines from National Treasury for the 10-11 financial year, we moved into the area of the annual performance plan. And this will be cross-referenced to the annual report, the overall strategic objectives, pages 28 to 34, and onwards. But just to indicate, we had strategic goals in terms of the strategic plan 2009-10, and there were seven of those running through from ensuring sustainable and critical water resources to the seventh one dealing with transformation. In terms of the 2010-11 annual performance plan, we have six strategic priorities. And those six strategic priorities are contributing to economic growth and development, contributing to rural development, food security and land reform, ensuring sustainable and equitable water resources management, effective support to local government and contribution to global relations, and improving the department's capacity to deliver services. Now, Chair, the one thing I must point out, and I think I did that also when we did the annual performance plan, when we presented it to the Portfolio Committee for tabling in Parliament, was that there's still the difficulty that we have with the annual performance plan as it stood then and as it stands for the current year, was the linking of that annual performance plan directly through to the 12 outcomes of government, and also to have a very clear linkage into the budget framework. We tried to rectify that in terms of the annual performance plan for the 11-12 financial year, and that will be further refined for the 12-13 year as we go forward. So that's where we that's where we are in terms of trying to get some alignment. If I could then move on and just look at the main account, the measurable objectives in terms of the strategic priority one, contributing to economic growth and social development. The objectives there, ensuring strategies and feasibility plans exist to reconcile water requirements and availability, and that touches on our reconciliation strategies, which we have presented to the Portfolio Committee before. Effective creation of decent employment through infrastructure development, and through some of our engagement with the Portfolio Committee, we've also reported on the jobs that or employment that's been created through the infrastructure development program, the EPWP programs, which is the Working for Water and Working on Fire, and also through the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Program. Ensuring provision of regional bulk water, that's the RBIC program, the development and maintenance and rehabilitation of bulk infrastructure, that's the programs which Dr. Cornelius Raters is responsible for, and ensuring efficient implementation of pricing strategy and the funding model, which we're busy, we currently are dealing with the tariff structures for the 12-13 financial year. Strategic priority two is the contribution to rural development, food security and land reform, and the objective there is the creation of sustainable rural livelihoods. Go down, is the next one. just stay on that one. And in my opening statement, Chair, I made reference to our contribution to rural development in terms of the rainwater harvesting, food security, and also the support to resource poor farmers. Strategic priority three is ensuring sustainable and equitable water resources management. And there are five areas: improving the equity in water allocation, that deals with our licensing program, and certainly going forward, there will be certain policy shifts in the way, if you look at the profile of the way water is utilized in the country at the moment. And on many occasions, I've indicated the skewed allocation or the skewed usage, where 60% goes to agriculture, 27% to urban, and then the balance to industry, mining, energy, and the environment. To ensure sustainable water use, improving equity in water services management, protecting and improving water quality, and in that regard, I'm sure Elchard Muller, given the opportunity, will use today as a platform to once again talk about the green and blue drop processes which we follow, which are extremely, in my opinion, are excellent programs in terms of the knowledge base that we now have around both water treatment, water quality, and wastewater management. Ensuring adequate information and knowledge to sustainably manage our water resources. Strategic priority four is the effective support to local government, and that's the implementation local government turnaround strategy, and Metandeka and Mbasa will be able to talk to a great extent around that one. Strategic goal, strategic priority five is contributing towards the global relations, and this is the area where Malindi Welusanga is our key strategist, and deals with the strategic leadership and engagements of the department in multilateral forums, forging strategic relations with countries in Africa and the world, that's the North, South, and South-South relationships, and ensuring effective implementation of regional cooperation agreements. And the work that they do there is very significant in our water sector, given that South Africa shares five of its major river basins with our neighboring states. And the management of the water resources in those shared river basins is dictated by international and regional protocols. Strategic priority six is the improvement of the department's capacity to deliver quality services. And in terms of my opening statement, I did indicate some of the interventions that are in place to deal with that. But in terms of the objectives there, strategic objectives, is to ensure the alignment of institutions to meet the legislative mandate, and that's our external institutions, which would include the Water Research Commission, the TCTA, the water boards, and water user associations. Secondly, to ensure effective organizational performance management, improving financial management capacity, developing appropriate skills to address the sector needs, the implementation of gender and disability mainstreaming programs, and improving public understanding and appreciation of the value of water by all South Africans. Chair, I will then go on to strategic priority six, have I done that one? Yeah. I will then just reflect quickly on the measurable objectives within the water trading entity. The strategic priorities there, first of all, contribution to economic growth and social development. And you'll see that there is some cross-correlation with what you find in the main account. And the reason for that is that the water trading entity does rely on some transfers from the main account into the water trading account in terms of infrastructure development, where those are funded from the appropriated funds to Parliament. So as the development and maintenance and rehabilitation refurbishment of bulk infrastructure, effective creation of decent employment, I've touched on that already, the promotion of small micro enterprises to procurement of goods and services, and while that comes out as a strategic objective within the trading account, that objective also is underlain in terms of our procurement strategies in the main account as well. The second strategic priority is ensuring sustainable and equitable water resources management in all water management areas, and that relates really to the work in the catchment or the 19 water management areas of the country, where we've got two catchment management agencies established and up and running, and the other areas managed through our regional or our provincial offices as proto-CMAs. Next slide. So just to do an analysis of the performance reports, Honourable Chair, and if I am going at too rapid a pace, just please slow me down. I will start with the... Thanks, sir. I do need to take a sip of the remaining coke every now and again. And partridge, could you still on the table, please? Chair, then going on to the slide 16, under strategic priority 1, which is a contribution to effective economic growth and social development. And here we're reporting in terms of our achievements for the past year, the strategic and feasibility plans. During the period under review, we completed the reconciliation strategies in the Eastern Cape, the Algoa, and the Zimbubu areas. There was one feasibility plan, phase one, for the Makola Crocodile Rest Augmentation Project completed. And in fact, during the current year, we're now into the implementation of the Makola Crocodile Rest project. Desalination strategy completed and will be incorporated in the National Water Resources Strategy. You might, in terms of looking at that, where we indicate it's been completed, those are individual strategies which go into the overall umbrella strategy being the National Water Resources Strategy. So the approval of those individual strategies will be done at the same time that we approve the National Water Resources Strategy. With regard to effective creation of employment, the regional bulk program created 1,313 job opportunities. The natural resources programs to the EPWP, 32,000 job opportunities, and working for fire, 1,567 job opportunities. And those, you'll see the detail of that on tables 20 and 21 in the report. With regard to ensuring provision of bulk water infrastructure, that's page 60 of the report, a total of 55 of the planned 54 regional bulk schemes were implemented, and the table of detail is on table 10. Additional funds were received, just stop there, I didn't finish reading there, which did result in the implementation of additional schemes. And we do have quite a ramp up from the 2010-11 financial year into the 11-12 financial year in terms of that program. Next slide, please. With regard to effective implementation of pricing strategy, you'll find that on page 41. We've approved the principles of the tariff model, and the project at that stage was about to start. The work is now underway in terms of a review of the pricing strategy, the funding model, and also looking at the best way of regulating the water sector. Honourable Chair, Strategic Priority 2, and this you'll find from page 60 onwards. First of all, the creation of sustainable rural livelihoods. Once again, that's the last time that I can use working for water and working for fire as a bragging point. My colleague Nosipho will do that in the next reports, but I'm sure Guy Preston, given an opportunity, can talk for many hours around the successes they've achieved there. So there are 1567 out of the 1650 SMEs established through the Working for Water program. There's I've already touched on the 5,740 rainwater harvesting tanks that were distributed in the rural households. The program did, however, slow down because of the recruitment of new emerging contractors, and to also explore new implementation models. But that detail, Dr. Preston would be able to respond to if there are any questions. In terms of protection improving water quality, 2036 of the planned 1655 hectares of woodlots were completed. The delays there were the issuing of forestation permits in the Eastern Cape, resulting in delays in implementation. But in my opening statement, I did indicate that the water use licensing, which is also linked, or the forestation permitting, is also linked to the water use licensing, what steps are being taken to deal with that. Of course, dealing with felt fires, one would always like to see a zero hectares of felt fires attended to. Certainly there was a reduction in terms of what we anticipated. So the season is always dependent on weather patterns, so we cannot predict those figures. That's the one area where we want to see an underachievement, I suppose. Improving the equity in water allocation on page 52, those figures there in terms of the backlogs eradicated, they're quite academic at this point in time because of the progress we've made with regard to the water use licensing, and I do have access to the most up-to-date information with me today, and I've also got the chief driver on the program, Portia Bocconio, sitting at the back there, who will be able to respond to detailed questions. Page 52 of the report, Ensuring Sustainable Water Use, the draft at that stage, the second draft of the National Water Resources Strategy version 1 has been developed. We're now at the stage, Honourable Chair, where we are doing the final draft with the work that we've done and preparing ourselves to submit to Cabinet and then on to Parliament to be able to follow the process of the 90-day or up to 90-day consultation process that we followed. In terms of, I think you might have moved a bit too fast for me. Next one, thanks. In terms of protection improvement of water quality, I've made reference to my colleague Helgaard. In terms of the compliance monitoring, we only managed to deal with 14 of the 45 planned cases, and the indication there is that it's a complexity of those cases which takes up a lot of the time and means that we aren't able to resolve them in the time that we plan. The blue drop and green drop, we've already, I think it was in March this year, or April this year, launched the latest reports, and so some of the figures reported there will now have to be updated, or we need to look at them in relation to the reports that were tabled earlier on this year. And my information is that we are already in the 2011 assessment period, those assessments are going extremely well. Ensuring adequate information to sustainably manage water resources. After 5 priority catchments targeted, assessments have been done in 4 areas. Why don't I know that acronym? And One Water Services, I thought it was IWSA, sorry, One Water Service Authority has been optimally monitored. I think, Chair, just before moving on, we just need to, I'm already assuming 100% of the municipal wastewater treatment plants have been assessed for the green drop, sorry. In terms of implementation, local government turnaround strategy, page 62, I must just say that the department's priority was to lead and consolidate all water sector planning at local government level through the alignment of IDPs and WSDPs, and a total of 169 municipalities were supported to align WSDPs and IDPs. And I think in relation to a question that was asked when we responded to the National Planning Commission presentation a week or two back, was why it's 169 and not all of the municipalities. That relates to those municipalities who are water services authorities. So our support programs are targeted at the water services authorities rather than as a blanket approach to all municipalities. The department has also convened water endowments to agree, align and consolidate water plans in the relevant sectors, and 9 Indaba action plans are being implemented in all of the provinces. We also, Honourable Chair, in collaboration with the Department of Cooperative Governance, implemented the local government, worked with them on the implementation of local government turnaround strategy, and also dealing with the priority programs of support provided in terms of forging water conservation and water demand management. And I'm quite pleased to indicate that while Parliament appropriated, I think this what was it, 450 or 540 Tanaka funds to Nelson Mandela,
450.
While we appropriated 450 million to upgrading the water supply systems to Nelson Mandela Bay, that through a water conservation and demand management program, they managed to achieve up to 50% savings through a program which was co-funded with the department and Nelson Mandela Bay. The other 4 metropolitan municipalities which achieved their water savings targets were Itekweni, who achieved a 11 million cubic meter savings against the planned 6 million. So, Chair, some of those interventions we are really seeing the results of, and we also, during that reporting period, allocated 20 million to municipalities in the Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, Limpopo, Northwest, and KwaZulu-Natal to rehabilitate water treatment and wastewater treatment works to reduce the impacts of floods and also the impacts on our water systems. Next slide, please. Strategic priority 5. In terms of contributing to global relations, DDG International will also be able to answer many of the questions around here. The first area was a strategic leadership, and that's in relation to strengthening AMCA administration, where one official has been appointed for secondment for a period beyond the 2 years that South SA is the chair of AMCA. As you are aware, our Honourable Minister, Minister Molewa, is currently the chair person of AMCA. And we've identified the individual, and we're just going through all of the hoops with Durko to get the official placed in Abuja. With regard to forging strategic relationships with other countries in Africa and the world, there are a number of MOUs signed, 3 in total, 2 in Africa. 1 in Swaziland was signed with the water supply across border, and then of course the Lesotho, we had the statement of intent to sign the Lesotho Islands Water Project, and I'm pleased to indicate, Honourable Chair, that in August this year, the treaty between South Africa and Lesotho was signed for the implementation of the Lesotho Phase 2. And that particular treaty also includes an element of hydroelectricity development, and that's the Kabong pump storage scheme, which will be developed by the city. And we are just at the moment going through the certification process of all of those agreements. And in fact, that particular agreement will come through Parliament for certification as well. We also, during that reporting period, signed a Memorandum of Cooperation on Water Resources, and you'll find it on page 45, with Vietnam. And during the current year, we actually are working closer with Vietnam in terms of the committee that's put together in terms of that MOU to implement the outcomes, expected outcomes, with regard to that MOU. Strategic Priority 6, in terms of ensuring effective organizational performance and management, on page 47, the department is making progress in improving its corporate governance, and I did in my opening statement make reference to the risk management areas and fraud management plans, but we also have a plan in place to automate and develop the scorecard system. The M&E system had administrative challenges, but we're still committed to the project to be finalised during the 2011-12 financial year. Honourable Chair, we've also had to having to modify the way we deal with our monitoring and evaluation in the department to make sure that we are in line with the programs that we've put in place through the Ministry of Monitoring and Evaluation and their business processes which they're putting in place there, that there's alignment, that we don't have parallel reporting systems. So that we're working on as well. Risk management, internal audit, I've already talked to. Internal audit implements its audit coverage plan as approved by the audit committee. And Honourable Chair, I can indicate that certainly during the period under review where I was acting Director General, I did in fact attend the audit committee meetings that were convened during that time. Next slide, please. The improvement of financial capacity management, pages 47 to 48. A detailed action plan has been developed to respond to the audit findings and opinion by the AGSA, and an audit steering committee in conjunction with the internal audit will monitor the implementation of the plan. You will also recall that we do have a steering committee which gets mobilized each year as we prepare for the interim audit and going into the full regularity audit. So there will be some cross-reference between the work of that audit steering committee around the actual audit for 2011-12 and also implementing the findings from the 10-11 audit. In terms of development of appropriate skills to address sector needs, you'll find that on page 48. 5 graduate trainees have achieved professional registration, and we at that stage have plans in place to absorb them into the department. Maybe one of my colleagues can just give me a nod to indicate where they have now been absorbed into the department. 5 have been absorbed into the department. And Honourable Chair, I think that really is a testimony to the Learning Academy, where we take in graduate trainees and we take them through a very structured training program to make sure that they get to the point where they are able to register with their various professional bodies and eventually are able to be appointed into the OSD post in our department. And we certainly hope that we'll be able to retain them in our department going forward. Sector skills gap analysis will be finalised during the current financial year. We started it during the last year and it will be finalised during the 11-12 financial year. Chair, that's my input in terms of the performance report, and I will, with your permission, hand over to Acting CFO to deal matter. Can I first deal with, the water trading account performance report, if I could ask Dr. Reuters.
So we've done the performance, you've given the approval on the performance,
that's
you've given
right.
Now you've got left financial statements?
Correct.
And what else?
We've got the 2 financial statements and the water trading performance report, which I've given some detail on.
Yeah, that we can do separately.
Okay. So you want to do the financials?
Yeah. No. We can come let's take any inputs from the committee on this part of the report. As I said, if you look at the annual report, the first thing that the DG said is under the strategic overview, and the rest of it is now presented under the first, how many pages? Verse 24. All right, any questions, any comments, any responses? Mrs. Rosanna, Dr. Juan, Mr. Morgan, this side as well, Mr. Boudet. If you take that, there will be more time for other questions.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, firstly, I want to welcome the report. This is a very nice report. But I want to ask a question on job creation, Chairman. Even if this report covers 2009-2010 financial year, there were plenty vacancies in the department for June this year. Plus minus 700 which were not implemented. And we were promised that by June, those vacancies will be filled in the department. Can we get a progress on that? Secondly, on the finances, finances of this department.
Can we just add while we're there on those vacancies and stuff? Also, tell us, just quickly, give us an update on the disciplinary matter.
On the finances, Chairperson, there is a strategy of improving the financial management, in fact, the capacity building on the financial management. We want to be cleared on issues related to corruptions like wrong pipes installed in Polokwane, Nadoni Dam, and other places. On issues of discipline, as you have indicated, Chairperson, we want to know very clearly there what is happening, who is responsible, where are you with the process of dealing with that matter. And also on gender and disability and mainstreaming program, how far are you as a department? Because you are always told about 2% of implementing the gender and disability mainstreaming program. I want to know in this department, how far have you gone? And what are your plans in increasing the 2% that we're talking about? Because this 2%, you can't talk about 2% more than 17 years, Chairperson. We need to change or we need to increase that program. And also, on municipalities' assessment on compliance, raindrop and certification, I welcome that and I accept it. But I want to know, Chairperson, the money owed by the municipalities to this department. How far have you gone in collecting those monies that are backlogs to this department? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, thank you, PG, with the performance. I think my question is more in the finance, but the finance don't know the coming. But from the your achievement, I think it's page 23. Your achievement for the youth, the risk management and the internal audit are the making progress in the improving in the press and the IMC to monitor and guide the department on the manager for risk. But I from this annual report for the AG report, the insight say, I think they say, the internal audit unit has a 3-year strategic plan that was approved by the audit committee. However, due to the capacity constraint, the audit unit do not perform all the assignment plan for the year. So I like to know from the PG side how you can improve and say you already achieved for the internal audit unit. Thank you.
Morgan?
Thank you very much. My first question, I'll keep my financial questions for the next section, but my first question on performance is on the water services development plans. I note that there has certainly been an improvement with submissions by municipalities of water services development plans. And for that, I congratulate you. It's one thing, however, to put a number and say, well, this is how many. What I'm more interested in is, in fact, the quality of the water service development plans. It is, you know, according to the Water Act, or one of the acts, it is a requirement for the water service authorities to have such plans. I would like to know what your assessment is of the quality of these plans against the existing available water resources and your strategy, whether you have any concerns about this, and you know, if so, what are you going to do to improve that situation? The next thing is on the Water License Backlog. I am very interested to know the status of that backlog. And I mean, there have been many commitments, and you know, all well intentioned, in order to get the license backlog dealt with by this department, and I certainly respect that. It's important for economic growth that we are able to license development projects, whether mines or farms or whatever, in a speedy way, at least for those developments that should be authorized. So where are you on this, at this particular issue at the moment, with regards to satisfying the provision of water licenses? And then my last point is, and I'm struggling to find it here, it might come up somewhere else, or it might be divided into different components, is really your results in terms of compliance and enforcement. Now, you know, your sister department, the Department of Environmental Affairs, is able to each year provide us with a comprehensive assessment of all compliance and enforcement actions taken by not only the Department of Environmental Affairs, but also for all the provincial departments and all the entities such as Ezimvelo, Cape Nature, and the like, which is not their responsibility, but they take the effort to collate that. So where is the picture of the degree or number of compliance and enforcement actions taken by the department during the financial year? It seems to me to be a objective that should be reported upon, and across, you know, whatever mines or failing wastewater treatment plants, all of that is very, very important. Linked to that, could you give us, with regard, someone asked a question about vacancies. I specifically would like to know the vacancies for so-called blue scorpions at your head office and across your regional offices. That obviously has a lot to do with your ability to be able to do effective compliance. And my last question related to that, and it's related to compliance enforcement, is I've yet to understand why there cannot be better coordination in terms of training your inspectors with the Department of Environmental Affairs. Now, I understand that their accreditation isn't ideal for the Department of Water's purposes. However, their officials say, well, you guys aren't making any approaches to them at all to actually adjust their syllabi in order to actually improve the water component. And with the benefit of having a minister with oversight over two departments, it seems like the two departments' ability to share resources, at least training resources in compliance and enforcement, is very weak. And they point fingers at you in the Department of Water. So I would appreciate your thoughts and comments on that subject. I thank you.
Thank you.
Judy?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Trevor for the presentation. Chair, mine, I was just going through the, you know, the pages that have sort of noted the numbers on the issues that are raised on the report. One for me is on page 28, Trevor, on the distribution of the water tank. You know, this question, you know, this for me is very, very, you know, key and very critical. I asked this question and I'm still waiting for the reply, actually, in terms of which the demographics of the areas, the rural areas that have actually received the 5,740, you know, water harvesting tanks. I asked this question some time ago, and I was promised that I would get the answer. Because it would be very interesting to know which area, so that at least as we go around and see the crisis that people are living under in terms of the water shortages, because you know that the area has been covered and the area. And also it would be good to know, I hear you saying that it has been sort of been sluggish now because of whatever reason. It would be interesting to understand if they, which areas are benefited and which areas are being looking at in terms of water tanks. I was in the Eastern Cape over the weekend. I'm telling you, it's very touching to see the conditions and the water that people have to go and fetch and the water, you know, the kettle. I actually walked as I'm sitting here. My legs are so sore because I had to walk, to the river, down the hill, so that I can experience it myself, firsthand when people are complaining to say we don't have water. I can attest, cattle and everything were also there and people were fetching water. And the water, the color was so brown. I don't know how they turned it. On page 35, so I would love to know that on page, 35. Trevor, I don't know what to say about it. Lack of an M and O and skills is one of the critical issues that stifles the safety service delivery program of the department. I'm sure if you can read in your previous annual reports, you will come across this very same, issue. And now one asks, is the department serious? Do you want to address this? If this can appear in every annual report that you produce, really. If one can get some clarity, really about that. And then in the very same, page 35, stuff down on the issue of the active mine drainage, where it's saying the challenge that has been presented by the active mine drainage demonstrates a very effective function of cooperative governance. If I understand that English, I'm African, maybe there's something I missed there in that English. I want to understand what is meant by that. And then on that very same page, further down there, the last paragraph, where you talk about the strengthening and the weaknesses in the system of government, both internal and external. My issue there is, how is this being addressed by the department? Because again, it's one of those issues, that goes from there. What is being done about it? On page 36, again, lack of project and contract management in the organization reflects negatively in the execution of the plan. Again, Trevor, go back to your annual report. This has been there. Year in and year out, these problems are there. The question is really the department capable of running this department? If you can, all your annual reports are reflecting, I have gone through this. Every page that I've numbered here is reflecting on the old story complex issues that have been actually dealing with every day. So if one can really be able to get a satisfactory response today, Trevor, I know that you can't do everything at once. Maybe there is a process, but if one can be able to get some assurance to say by when, that we've got time frames of when this will be addressed, so that at least come the next annual report, we don't see this, you know, back here again. The last one for me, Chair, because they are all, you know, the same. There is also an issue of the budget. What is the reason for the unspent, money?
We're going to get to the financials.
Can I, this MOU with Vietnam on water, maybe I'm too late to understand Vietnam so far away. What is the purpose of the MOU? What is the significance of that? Maybe there's something that I don't understand that maybe we'll be able to educate me, you know, about it. The issues of finance, I will then leave out and I will deal with them.
We'll have a lot of chance now.
Okay.
Mazi Galala?
Chairperson.
Ma'am.
It's water again. I would love somebody to define the word water. It is life, by the way. Page 18 says, protection and improvement of water quality. They refer to page 61. This thing called water pollution. And unfortunately, it is the people from the rural areas that are affected by it. Because really and truly, those rivers are not protected. Hence, the stock will always pollute the water from those rivers. Well, I'm happy for the people from the local government, people from the municipalities, because they are, you know, they enjoy the best of its kind when it comes to clean water. And it says every citizen from this country of ours deserves, has to have clean water. Good enough, the department is trying. I'm with you, but I think when it goes to percentage, let's say 100%, I can just give the department 50% because of what I am just saying now. Water pollution. I'm looking around, I see Mthatha Bath Water intervention, maybe something is going to come up here. And I've heard quite a number of, statements about the Eastern Cape Seaboard, because I can see that the department is really considering Eastern Cape when it comes to this issue of water. One other thing, Chairperson, maybe I might be out of order. You will correct me. I just, for my own information, I just want to know from the Department of Water if there is anything they know about the MDGs. Because I'm made to understand all departments have to make some contribution towards that. And I support it. Why? Because they deal with MDGs they deal with quite a number of issues concerning the lives of people. You name them, 1 up to 8. In case you don't know, all departments are requested to participate somehow or other. So I was just trying to say, Mr. Trevor, maybe you can say something about that from your department. Thank you.
Let me add a few issues. The business review process is dependent on a whole lot of responses in the department. So it's difficult to engage the department until those processes start changing. Now, Minister was going to give us an input, an overview on it in July, and she felt he was what you couldn't. So we still haven't had input as a committee on that issue. And I don't want us to steal our minister's thunder on that issue, so we can wait till she can brief us on it. But I think it is important that you indicate to her, just Trevor, you said the report won't be given as one big report, but as pieces. Maybe you should just indicate to us how close some of the issues are to finalization. So that we know as a committee, do we wait, you know, another year, do we need a half year, do we, you know, and so on, so on. It's difficult because it's difficult to engage you on things that we're not part of. And yet, it's vital to the functioning of this and to whether you're going to be able to meet the things you want to meet. So, you know, for example, the water trading entity, you people are close to hopefully getting a final report on that and hope to start implementing by November, you know, then at least we have a target and we know what's going on. Okay. The second thing is, you know, I'm really disappointed, and I'm going to say this publicly, that we're taking so long with the CFOs. Because, I mean, we're all in agreement. When you told us the first time that you've taken a decision to have two CFOs, we immediately supported it. There's not been a single word of disagreement on it. Yet we're now sitting in October and we're still waiting to appoint them. You know, so I must just say, you've already said that they... the process of being appointed. I'm really disappointed. Because what that means is now October. I don't imagine those people are going to start working before November, December. So come next year, February, when we assess these things and how far the trading entity has now moved, you know, we've got a new person at the helm. And so I'm disappointed. I really am. On something where we all have agreed. In fact, you told us last time that in fact there's people in the business community you have in mind to appoint for the trading entity. And it's October and we're still going through these processes. So I want to just... the issue that Ma raises on the MDGs, you know, I think we've indicated to both departments that we understand that when you draft your annual report and when you draft your other reports, you do it according to what Treasury wants. But we've also indicated to the committee that as part of the reporting to this committee, we want you to table every time we do annual reports and so on. If you're not going to do it in the annual report and in your strategic plan, at least as an annexure to it or a separate document to it, what we're doing on MDGs. So that we can see progress and we can measure it. By the way, Mark, they did give us an excellent input, Fred Van Sale. This is one of the best inputs we've had from this department. So there is an input already they gave to us, and we were very happy, and then they redrafted the document to add to it. So we were very happy with that. But we're now talking about annually reporting. And so you guys, even if you're not going to make it part because you say, no, this is the annual report, I personally think it's a mistake by Treasury, and they should have, whatever our international obligations are, should be part of the strategic plans, should be part of these reports, exactly so that we can measure you, everyone. So. But if you can't do it like that, if you're misunderstanding me, I want to make it very clear. Then every time you come and do the strategic plan, the annual report, I want then a report on where our international obligations are, the MDGs, or whatever. You know, Environment's actually got quite a few of those. They've got a few
things. I think maybe you guys have just got MDGs. But if there's any other international obligations we have to meet as well, that must then be reported. If not in those reports, then as separate reports. Okay. So I should have actually remembered that and probably emphasized it, but let's try and do it in the future. Because it's the only way we can really continuously stay on board with these things. And it forces the department to know that we're also going to check it all the time. Okay? So let's just get that. That's not necessarily a criticism for this occasion because we didn't go through it. Then just on the water licensing, you know, in July we had a lot of discussions around this. And one of the views we expressed is that maybe we should look at this, the institutional arrangement we have in the department, and maybe water licensing is really the core, probably, of the existence of the department in a very important way. And whether we shouldn't have institutionally set up the whole licensing section in such a way that it's a holistic structure and can deal with these things. So you have reported on you guys are trying to meet those things in December, and that's wonderful, the backlogs and so on. But I'm trying to think, have you guys given any further thought on that institutional arrangement, on how to do it? Secondly, we also raised very big problems we have with the legislative process, insofar as some of those things that we wanting should have been done 10 years ago, and should we still have those legislative obligations? Because what we're doing now, we're wasting very valuable time on trying to look at satellite photos to try and look at what the water supply was, and should we actually be looking at, and then I think you indicated to us that you guys are actually reviewing that section, so give us a report on how far that review is, and how far you able to engage us on it as a vital section. And then thirdly, there was a set of regulations. I think Mr. Kiert spoke about it's regulations to try and regularize some of these illegal use of the valve. The set of regulations called the irrigation regulations, something. How far were we with those things? We indicated again that those things should have been done 20 years ago. So how far are we with those three things on the licensing? So it's fine to try and get the backlog done, but if we don't sort out the legal and the institutional and the regulatory frameworks, then even in December, come December, we've got problems again because we've got the same system we're dealing with, the same illegal water use in the vial, etc., etc. So we haven't really progressed as far as that, particularly the putting in of meters that we thought should be an obligation we should create immediately in regulation. Let me leave it at those, and I'm sure there'll be some others. Let's respond to that and see how far we get.
Quite a basket of questions. And,
not a basket of questions.
No, I've said baskets. I should have said a bucket of questions.
Emmer full.
And hopefully not an emmer with a lick.
Yeah.
With a lick of emmer. Chairman, get DDG Corporate Services to handle some of the responses to the first questions raised by Honorable Scassana. So if he could deal with the HR related issues, and then ask Helchot Muller to deal with the blue drop and green drop issues, and then we'll go on to the Dr. Wong's question after that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, DG, and thanks, Chairperson, and members of the Portfolio Committee. If you look at the vacancy rate for the past annual report, not the one that was in, I think we were at about 18% or more. And this report that we're dealing with is 15.7. And I think that an improvement from 18 to 15 is quite a remarkable one. Even though 15% vacancy rate is not, an acceptable vacancy rate, but there is marked improvement in terms of that. And I think this is due to a massive recruitment drive that we engaged in as a department, in terms of which we advertised about 624 posts. And out of those, there's a breakdown in terms of how many posts have been filled so far, how many posts are on hold, how many posts are in progress. Just in terms of the ones that are on hold, there's a new process of the business process review that kicked in the department, in terms of which there was an instruction by the minister to hold on certain posts, especially from levels 1 to 8. I think there's about 200, and there's about 170 posts that were on hold from the 624. From that, 124 posts have been filled already, and about 48 posts are on the process of approval, and 282 are actually in progress in the chain of being filled. So it's quite a marked improvement from the last time
we
met.
All those numbers you said, how far does the 15% go further down?
Well, the numbers that I'm talking about are from the 18% to get up into the 15%.
So listen to my question. You say you now, in this annual report, you're on 15.7.
Yes.
Now I'm asking you, you're saying there's, you've filled, I think, 24 or something.
We've filled 124.
Then there's so many more that are just waiting for signature, and there's so many more. Now I'm asking those waiting for signature and those when you do, those that you are processing, when you've done all that, what is the 15% come to then?
Well, I haven't done the calculation, but...
Okay, do it for me then. Do it a bit later, okay?
Okay, I'll do the calculation for that. But the DG has also mentioned the fact that there was just recently a drive to fill in almost all the SMS posts that are outstanding. And I think at this point, those posts are at... interview stage. I think the shortlisting has been done. We are now at a point where we are supposed to get to
all the
SMS posts that are vacant. Once that also...
Can I just interject there? Chair, those were the ones that were vacant as at August this year. We've since had some other vacancies, so there will still be some posts that are going forward.
Yeah, so I'm saying that once we do that calculation for you on the 624 plus the SMS that the DG has mentioned, there should be a significant reduction of the vacancy rate. This also includes the CME posts that Honorable Morgan has asked about, because in the 624 there were CME posts across the region that were also advertised. The last time we presented to Parliament, we indicated that there's about 30 posts of CME in the establishment. And at that point, there was 21 filled and only 9 that were vacant. And in the 9 that were vacant, I think all of them during that 624 process were also advertised. And they are at one or other point in terms of the categories that I've mentioned.
Each of the disciplinary matters?
Well, all the disciplinary issues have been finalized except one of the CIO, which is still pending. Yeah.
So they finalized the results?
Finalized means that there's either a finding by the presiding officer, and the department either has to engage with the finding with the presiding officer or has to accept the final
finding of the CEO.
Can I give over to our employer relations?
Honourable Chair, the matter was concluded on the 7th of
September. So the DG is concluded, eh?
That's correct.
That's right, and we are now going through that process tomorrow.
That's correct.
Then the
CFO has been concluded.
And what happened there?
He was dismissed.
All the appeals net finished or they're pending?
That's finalized.
Everything's finalized.
DDS filed a dispute with the bargaining council, the matter's pending arbitration. But the process is concluded from the department.
So you guys are busy reappointing the CFO?
No. Sorry, the DG has challenged the dismissal. The CFO has accepted the dismissal.
But the other DG, Yakub.
That's correct.
She's but you're going ahead with the appointment. Okay.
That's correct.
So the CFO hasn't challenged.
No, sir.
And you're making an appointment there.
That's final written warning and suspension of salary for a particular period and the person is sent to undergo training and development to close the gap with the skills that were identified.
So where is she going to be placed?
Back at the department.
As what? I know she's in
the department. I'm not sure.
She's not appointed, I mean.
Chair, I wonder if I could respectfully request if we could just leave it at that point, because the matter is with the minister. If I could request the question. I don't want to preempt any instructions that might come from the minister.
CIO?
The CIO's case is also pending. He's requested the party. We schedule the matter for proceeding. He's made a request that the party that the matter now be referred to arbitration without going through a disciplinary process. I've made a request to Minister and she's making a new direction on that.
Okay. Now, are all the investigations finished?
That is correct.
The public services budget within this case, are they finished?
Concluded, sir.
Concluded.
Yes.
And what happened in that? Any action taken?
He said that DDG Corporate Services was again shot, and on that matter also received a final report. The CFO had already been dismissed on the previous charge, so we did not pursue the PSC's case again.
There was another investigation on some audit company or something.
That investigation sitting with the Special Investigation Unit. We have started a project with
there may still things flow from that.
That is good.
And the bid committee, where are those disciplined in that?
That investigation has also been subjected to the SAU for a board detailed investigation.
So that's also not finished.
That's correct.
So the SAU is doing some investigations and then those bid committee people are also being investigated.
That is correct.
So those are not completed. All right. If there are any questions on that, I'll give you a chance just now if you want to ask any further questions. Okay?
Can I just interject? You need to just mention the two tariff finance factors.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, emanating out of the disclaimer and qualification that the department received from the Auditor General, the department has taken a decision to suspend two of its directors and investigate their involvement the implications that arose out of the disclaimer as a result of their non-cooperation. So that meant it's also something to investigate.
So the AG's office said they didn't cooperate.
That is correct. And they are
more of them are, then.
I'm sure
they don't cooperate. Absolutely. And do it better than we did with Australians. Said that Bryce Lawrence would get against his head. All right, so those are the things then. That was Helgaard's. Are those all the resources?
That's all.
There's one outstanding matter for Marvo is around gender and disability.
Yes, gender and disability? Those profiles, how are they looking?
Well, they're not looking that bad, especially on gender. There are programs that the department has introduced, which we can make available in terms of statistics to the committee. But I can give a conclusive, confident answer that they are not looking very bad.
What's the percentage?
I would have to look up the percentage. I don't have.
Look it up and do that other calculation. And then on disability, what's the percentage?
Both gender and disability are bring back.
Okay, give us numbers.
Okay. I understand they are looking bad, but not very.
He's coming back to us, Mike.
We don't know what to
ask. He's coming back to us. We don't know the answer yet. So we will assess he's bad and he's good. And you'll tell him he's a young man that doesn't understand bad and good. Alpha?
Chair, yes. Mr. Skosana asked, remember Skosana asked about the money is owed by municipality to the department. I think people from the trading entity will ask you, but you, I think you also had. The money is owed by Water Board. And I'm looking at what National Treasury reported to you in March. I can provide an updated figure because every month we're providing with the outstanding debt. I think it's important to note the debt is around 1.8 billion rand. But 1 billion of that is actually arrears, meaning he's not current debt. So we said, if you're looking at total debt owed by owed to water boards, it's old debt that are in dispute between municipalities and the water boards. Because
that's
1 billion. Because the figure that we have here is 93% of the current debt is paid within 119 is paid. So the actual current position is not that, it's actually good. We're sitting with that old debt that has been sorted out. The majority of the arrears, 78% is more than 120 days old. The actual the context of this is about 10% of the annual sales to municipalities. The turnover is this debt. Now there has been cases, I think I also looked, there was a question asked in Parliament about Lepele and these municipalities. They owed about 300 million. There was an agreement settled. A month ago we had Bloomwater that threatened to cut off restrict water to municipalities in the Southern Free State because of non-payment. So municipalities are water boards are taking those actions that are required to do, and we were happy to engage with the provincial treasury and national treasury to make them come to an agreement to pay those debts. So on the ongoing debt, I think the picture is quite good, but we are still sitting with that outstanding debt. Those are
due before the end of November. Send us a report on what those arrears were at when you reported last to us.
Yeah.
And then what the picture is now.
Okay.
And then break it up the way you've answered it now. Say these things are being paid on an ongoing basis. But this area is the problem, you know, a billion or whatever. And which municipalities are those that have the problem?
Yeah.
Whether it's a dispute or whether it's just can't pay.
Yeah.
For example, told us last time that they now sat down and made an agreement how the municipality is going to pay the money back. Now, I mean, clearly that's not a dispute anymore. That is now there's an agreement on that. So really to say this is being paid, this has been agreed to and will be paid in that kind of way, and this is in dispute.
Yeah.
So that we have a clearer picture. Give us a two-pager, okay?
Okay, sure.
This on a report on that, if it's Susana, it's fine.
Yeah.
So we do the arrears like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Water board arrears broken down. Before the end of November. That's probably the only work you guys will be doing from now until the end of November, but
Chair, can I just interject there's a regular question that is tabled by the Democratic Alliance, where we give this information. On a monthly basis, the question comes through. Now, does that response on that question cover all of the issues that the Chair is referring to? So that response is a fairly regular response on a monthly basis.
So you do it in a nice report, not that the DA has a question. You do it in a nice report as I explain.
I must say it's a very good report. I get very much in the market. I'll share it with you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That's very nice of you.
Chair, the way that the question is often asked, we just respond directly to the question. We don't maybe give all the analysis as given now. So we can add the analysis to be more clear. Thank you, Chair.
Very important, don't give the analysis to the DA. They'll get it through the committee. Okay.
Chair, Trevor, you want me to respond to the other questions or not?
No, I want you to just break your response first and let Mr. Palmer come in if I could. That's a question from Dr. Wong with regard to the risk management and internal audit capacity. Thanks. Moshita?
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Member. The issue around internal audit capacity has been an issue which has been with us for quite some time now. But I need to indicate that when I joined the department from my side, we had a situation whereby internal audit was severely incapacitated with actually no senior managers within internal audit. After I've joined the department, we have moved to
to fill the position of internal audit FMS as well as the number of positions in the lower level. But as we were continuing to implement our work, we realized that even the way in which we are structured, we wouldn't be in a better position to service both the water trading entity and the main account. We identified the need for us to have more capacity. We initiated the process of trying to enhance the structure, but due to the BPR that is in place, the matter of our structure has been referred to them. I am in constant engagement with the members of the BPR so that the solution that we come with, the enhancement of the structure, is aligned to the changes that may be proposed by the BPR on the water trading entity. So we find ourselves at the end of the financial year that there were a couple of projects that we were not implemented, but we didn't stop at the end of the financial year, 31st March. We continued to implement our plans, and a substantial number of our of the reports have been since issued during this financial year that relates to the previous financial period.
Chair, through you, could I just ask Mr. Mapungo just to state the numbers, how many staff there were in internal audit when he arrived and how many staff there were now?
When I arrived in internal audit, they were in the region of about 11, and then now we are sitting at about 35.
Mr. Chair, I just thought it was important just to indicate the shift in terms of the capacity within the unit, even though there might be still some structural problems in the unit. There has been quite a significant increase in capacity. And as Mr. Mapungo is indicating, we did also contract out some of the investigations to forensic specialists to assist us as well, just to supplement capacity. Chair, can I move on to the questions raised by Honourable Morgan? Chair, before, most of those questions are relate to the work area of Wilhard Muller, but I wonder if I could just ask for some guidance on the last issue that Honourable Morgan raised. The issue around the training and collaboration with Environment Affairs. Honourable Chair, that is the subject of a letter that Honourable Morgan has addressed to the Minister, which the Minister is busy responding to. So I would hate to preempt the Minister's response in this meeting.
That's fine, yeah.
I would talk.
Thanks. If I could then ask...
I hope that response doesn't take as long as my small little request I made to Dr. Reuters about 15 months ago for information about Van William Dam and story. I hope that you don't punish the DA as much as you punish the ADC.
Chair, your point is not clear.
Looks like you really respond to the DA every month and quickly, chup chup. The ADC doesn't get the response.
No, they scared the opposition party.
I hope you noted that comment of mine.
Chair, I have noted your comments, and I must just indicate that questions to Parliament we try and respond to very promptly.
You don't respond to the chairperson of the committee, but Parliament. Oh, that's very important.
Chair, your
I don't want to disappoint you, but I am a member of Parliament.
Yes, sir.
And when I ask a question as well, it could be responded to something.
Dr. Reuters? I'm sure Dr. Reuters is preparing himself, sir.
Told me 15 months ago he wouldn't answer. Please, Dr. Reuters, it's a small question. What are you doing about Ken William Dam? You've told us in public 15 times what you're doing, but now I'm waiting for the answer for months. Next time I don't answer question and nicely to you guys, next time I push you here for an answer, even if you're not prepared for it.
Thanks, Chair.
Chair, thank you. Mr. Morgan, our first question was around the quality of the water service development plans, whether the quality has improved. And the answer I would give is yes. And I want to give three reasons for this. The first one
before
is...
Before you do that, explain to us just what the plans are.
In terms of the Water Services Act, it's a stipulation in the Act that every municipality must annually, every 5 years, prepare a water service development plan.
Oh, I see.
And that actually we see as a chapter of, later then through a legislation, all required to prepare integrated development plan. So the water service development plan is actually a chapter in more detail, of course, on the water services part of the integrated development plan. Now,
what will be in there, kind of, how much water they're using,
and yes,
they've got any needs in the future,
yeah,
they've got new plans to build a dam, is that?
We expanded it from when we started. For example, first of all, you look at the demographics, what are the backlogs? And previously we started just as there's a backlog. The latest, we divided in a number of categories, say, for example, which people has got no water, which has got some distance from a tap, where it's got a tap in the yard, other places where there may be a system, but the system is not working due to problems with maintenance. So we categorize it in about 7 or 8 categories. We just say no water or not water. We try to categorize it in all those categories. It is very helpful to municipalities when they plan to say, is this a problem of a resource problem that they need the water resource? Is it an issue that they must improve maintenance or things like that? For example, as Acting DJ has mentioned, we're engaging with rural development on this 21 district municipalities. And I think there are 9 in KZN. I think there's only one excluded. 9 of the 21, 9 is in KwaZulu-Natal. And when we engage with the DMs and rural development, we could provide them that information, what are the exact needs to help them plan. The second reason why I say improved quality is we linked it to water resources. First, when we started helping municipalities, we just worked on the water services component. But now we realize, and our planning people which report to Mbangi is doing all-time studies, looking at all the water resources for this municipality. So we try to link also, we're linking both the water service component and the water resources. I would say that will be my response on the water service development plans.
Thank you.
Mr. Morgan asked also about the directives after the results. And I think it's quite correct. And I think we must discuss with our acting DG to publish this as an annual report, the list of the directives. We've got the list of directives, also what we call notices or pre-directives. So we've got a full list which we can provide to the committee, but we don't publish it as Environment Affairs does. So I think that's something we should consider to make it public. But it is available. Information is available also to look at it. Then, unfortunately, I think you also asked about the shortages, and I don't know, Trevor, will it be part of that letter that is with the minister, but there are severe shortages in compliance enforcement, whereas the overall vacancy in the department, maybe not that serious, the vacancy in that section is critical.
If I could then ask Portia Makaya just to put in the water license backlog, as you can ask by the
honourable member. Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. The question was around what is the backlog, where we're standing with the backlog currently. We are currently at, if I give figures, 778 licenses, of which we have completed more than 600, around 630. 483 of those have been dispatched to their clients, and others are waiting for the signatures. From the 144 that are waiting signatures, DG has already signed off 41, and others are recommended for his consideration by regional heads of the 44. So if you really take that 41 that has been concluded, it's now at 740. But when we started with the backlog, we had hoped, and that's why we had this time frame of September and December. We counted files, and we were at 731. And as I'm saying, we've completed around 629, to be 629 to be specific. And we would be left with 103 files to meet the deadline. But because, as I've reported to the Portfolio Committee before, that we have recovered more files, and therefore that there has been an increase, more than 530 files have been recovered. Some of them have been actually reopened when we withdrew, and clients would present evidence that they had responded, and we would reconsider those files. So we've had a moving kind of backlog on this, and also the directive that was given to say all licenses, the initial target that was always spoken about was up to 209, but there was a directive from the DG and the minister to include even 2010 licenses. So with all of that, until which is now the backlog is 778 currently. And I've got a slide that really breaks down even the 778. How far are we in terms of that? And I can say 81% of those are already in the hands of the assessors. Already, some of it waiting for information from clients already. And once they are in the hands of assessors, 70% of those that are in the hands of assessors are actually at the initial assessment stage. But I've got a breakdown, Chair, that could give a clearer picture of
when
how...
You say your deadline is December, is it for the 103 or for the 600? The 100 plus the 500, new ones you found?
Obviously, Chair, that was more for the 103. But as we're picking up files, as we go along, the deadline...
Then you're not given the DG's answer is not correct that he's giving us. You say you're going to meet all the backlogs and everything by December. That means the 500 as well. I mean, then you guys would rather tell us you're going to meet the 100,
yeah,
but that there's 500 new ones that you found somewhere, and give us a breakdown of the 500, because I imagine some of those 500 have been redone, so it's probably not 500. So it looks to me you guys haven't done a proper assessment of the 500 yet, just from your answer. What is the answer actually? 101 or 600?
Chair, the December date has always been to achieve the backlog, what was viewed as the backlog. But in terms of dealing with the licenses, we aren't only focusing on the backlog, we're trying to do with current licenses as well. So the intervention is dealing with both, but there is a bias in terms of dealing with the backlogs, and the bias is in particular areas like dealing with the mining licenses, the ones for industry, the ones for agriculture, the ones for non-consumptive uses with municipalities which might hold up developments, and the energy-related ones. So that's what we're focusing on in those backlogs. But we have an increasing number all the time, so we can strip out in our reporting and only report on the backlogs, but what we're trying to do is to report on a comprehensively on all of the licenses. And what, Honourable Chair, we have now, I've got a sample of the report here with me. We have a much better handle on the database of what the licenses are, the sectors they're in, and also when the applications were submitted, and also processed at the moment. So I also made a presentation to the environmental MINMEC on the 30th of September, and that report that was submitted to that MINMEC could be circulated. I could make copies today and circulate.
Yep. Put that slide up. Looks like we're talking part of it.
These are the licenses that we are currently dealing with, and this is the split in terms of the or the status that the license are at. Your initial assessment, your information outstanding, finalizing assessment, ready for the delegated authority. This is where we are in terms of the backlog.
Just the backlog. That's not the ones that are not backlog. Or is also included the ones that are not backlog?
Those are excluded.
But 778 outstanding.
That's in terms of backlog. Just go to the slide that shows the 1257, the accumulated.
Let me just go and open that one, Chan. I've got that one.
Yeah, the difficulty, well not difficulty, but the challenge that we have is each time we do a presentation on the licenses, we ask to provide information differently. And I'm not talking about this committee, it's other forum where we report. So, and that's why we've tried to do a, not only focusing on what we were working on as the backlog, but give a total picture of the licensing situation. That slide there.
Chair, if you look at where we say it's the current backlog, that's almost the middle branch line where we have 778. And every month, that is the backlog that we were reporting that now this is where we stand on the backlog based on the type of files that we have at that point. And from the second one, the second line, and which is the blue line, would give progress if backlog was static, if really the counting was correct from the word go, 731, yes, we would be there. That's the reality of but that's at first to today's today figure. 1970. And additional files that we've been, getting 526 at that time, and finalized as of that date was 479. And that 479 would exclude those ones that are just waiting for signature, but they are already included in the backlog that we're talking about, so that we don't lose count of those. So where we, versus this, 1257 is the files that we have had to deal with since April, as of 19 September, versus the 731 that we had as the backlog.
What are you going to have finished by December? Going to finish the 778?
The 778 will be December.
Really? And then how many current ones?
Not the 778, the original, the remaining backlog. Yeah, that one. That's two.
The
not
the
would have been
completed. Not the same. The same.
Okay. then the backlog is not completed. There's 500 cases outstanding. Then the input is not right.
Chair, as you can see, if I may, Chair, monthly we have picked up files.
Yeah, no, I understand. And you told us that in July. And you now come here today and the DG tells us you're going to have 6 finished by December. So I clearly ask now what backlog is going to be finished by December. The DG shows 778, you say 252. So amongst yourselves you're completely mixed up with this. Now I'm trying to get an answer out of you. Which backlogs are going to be finished by December and how many are going to be outstanding? So then all the backlogs are not going to be finished. Looks like there are 500 that are going to still be outstanding. That's correct.
Chair, let me show you this slide, which gives. Yes, we will not finish all 778 files by December, because 778 means that we've had 540 files over the backlog that we had.
But what does that matter? It doesn't matter. It's 778 outstanding. And you say to us the backlog is going to be finished by December. I assume the 778 is going to be finished. If it's not going to be finished, just tell me what is not going to be finished. Then we know. What is not going to be finished in December? So what is your target for December? How many of the backlogs of 778 that are there will you be finished in December? It's a simple question.
We haven't quantified of the 500 and of the 77 how much exactly will not be finalized by December.
So you then want to change your statement, DG, that the backlog will be finished by December.
Chair, at this stage I'm not...
You're going to tell us that you don't know what...
No. Chair, I'm not going to change my statement at this stage. What we're going to have to do is put in additional resources.
See, what I'm not understanding, and I've got a lot of respect for what you're doing at the moment, because I know what a tough job you've got. But what I'm not understanding is, let's assume there are little rats crawling out of the woodwork called backlogs, and they're falling out of people's cupboards and under the desk. Let's assume all that's happened. And people haven't then hidden them away. So let's assume all those things are happening. You know, what worries me about that? It's not that that's happening. Well, that worries me that it happens, that there are people that are cheating at it. But what worries me is that I don't feel you guys got a grip on the things. That's what, just by the answers you've given me, it's making me feel something loose there. Because, you know, these things that are calling out of the woodwork, the first thing I would do is I would get someone to check, is this such an old file that we may have had a new application that is not a file anymore? So we can exclude it, you know, those kind of things. And it just doesn't feel to me like there's that comfort zone there. So I'm going to leave it like this. Let's assume the DG still wants to feel committed to doing the backlogs by then, and I respect that, and I'm happy that that's his approach. But then the unit must seem to get themselves sorted out a bit, that they know exactly what's going on. That's the first thing with backlogs, is you must understand what's going on. Else you... The blind leading the blind, or the dead leading the dead, or the whatever word you would use was not offending someone. It's like the NC leading the DA.
Not going to happen.
Actually, to make it worse, the DA leading the NC. I mean,
we'll do that.
So, please, let us sort this thing out, DJ. No use going further into it. Can we leave it at that, Mr. Moore?
Yeah, I agree, that's fine.
Okay. All right, next issue.
Chair, the next lot of a series of questions by Honourable Buda, and if I could ask Tom Becker to deal with those. Where did the Vietnamese part of that? Maybe if I could just ask, deal with him in the reverse order, ask Lindy Wendersanger just to deal with the Vietnam question. On the MOU, given that Vietnam was so far from us, and then we'll deal with the other.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair.
and honorable members. As Vietnam is our strategic global bilateral partner, where we are advancing South-South collaboration, and also it's a strategic partner which enables us to enhance technical and development cooperation, including international resources. In this regard, this partnership is going to deliver on us the issue of capacity building, the issue of training of scientists, and also with regard to the shared river basin, because they have got challenges of implementing their shared river basin with Mekong River Organization, which they are sharing with Cambodia and the other partners. They are soliciting support from us to teach them how to manage the shared river basin, because we have managed to do that through the revised protocol of SADC in terms of how we've shared the river basins with Oracecom and the other river basins that we're sharing. So, and also the third part is related to technology transfer related issues. So those are the three areas that we've prioritized in implementing this relationship so far, based on the agreement that we've signed. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. If I could then ask Tandeka just to come in and deal with the tank distribution issues.
Thanks, Chair. Honourable members, maybe I need to start by saying we actually did send information that was requested earlier on the number of tanks. But I would also like to give a little bit of perspective. This program in the department was conceived out of the need for the department to contribute to food security and rural development. That was the initial driver behind its conception. However, with the dire need for communities who definitely are without water, and with the drought situation, we sort of diverted the program to facilitate access to drinking water. That's the first point I would like to make. The criteria that we use is areas where there's urgency regarding lack of access, of course, but the key main driver, we focused on areas that were drought-stricken. I do have here an updated slide that shows the areas per province that were provided with tanks. This information is therefore an updated version of what we previously submitted to the committee. I'm not sure, Chair, if I really need to go through each province, but it just shows the distribution. But generally, the key provinces that we focused on was Limpopo, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I think what you must do for people's information is just provide that slide so that people can then see, okay?
Will you check? Can I move on then? Manjuda, I thought the issue you raised with lack of skills and the reference to the previous report from the period on this one, I thought was responded to by Marva Scott. You satisfied with that report, you reported on the vacancy issues in response to this almost the sum. Do you want to just run through that response again? So in terms of skills,
the one
on capacity and skills.
Well, in terms of skills, I think around March this year, the department concluded a skills audit, in terms of which we were looking at the capacity issues in all the areas that are critical for the delivery of the services and the water mandate that we have as a department. And out of that, by the end of this financial year, I think 2011-2012, a skills analysis gap report will be issued, and I'm sure it will be shared with the department. So there's a lot of work that is happening in terms of assessing the skills of the sector and putting in place certain programs to address those skills. And it's happening across the sector, as led by the department. I don't know if that answers.
Thanks, Chair. Then the question around AMD and the reference to cooperative governance. just really makes reference to the fact that we have an interdepartmental committee that is dealing with acid mine drainage, and it's not only interdepartmental in relation to national departments, where it would be my department, the Department of Environment, Mineral Resources, and the Council for Geoscience, CSIR, and Water Research Commission, but it also includes the provincial department, which is responsible, been given the task of overseeing AMD, which I think is the Department of Agriculture in the Gauteng, as well as representation from local government, the Mogale City, and Ekurhuleni. Thanks, Chair. Chair, with regard to the question around program and project management, and it's an old story, and what are the time frames, what I did indicate in my opening statement was that we have now entered into an agreement with DBSA, and through that agreement, certainly the branch regions under the guidance of Mataneka Mbasa and infrastructure branch under the guidance or leadership of Dr. Reuters, we're looking at supplementing project and program management capacity in terms of that particular agreement. Then coming to the question by Honorable Zikalala, the issue around MDGs, Chair, I thought you had addressed that, but certainly that information, Elkhart would be able to pull it up very quickly and provide the departmental input to the MDGs. And Chair, if I could at the same time just indicate that I've taken your point in the way that we should report on that going forward. So my team will take note of that.
So it's in the annual, at the time of the annual report and the strategic plan that we have a good idea what's going on in MDGs. And as I said, I would prefer it as part of those reports because I think they belong there. But if that's not possible, then a separate report must be given on those occasions.
Can I make
a
comment about that?
Chair, I think it's important for the committee to notice that the MDGs only talk about half of the backlog, which is actually not such a good, it means only by 2015, only half of your people will have access. South Africa was far more progressive in the way that we approached it. We said we want to eradicate the total backlog. That's also in line with the United Nations in 2010 took a resolution to say that access to water and sanitation is also acknowledged as a basic human right internationally. So the MDGs is not...
The MDGs, that doesn't stop us from doing anything.
Yeah.
All you're doing is you're reporting. So if someone asked me or asked Mrs. Kosana, what is your department doing about MDGs like Mr. Galalo is doing, then we must have the information. The issue is not whether we, you know, that's a lesser thing we need. Are we meeting at that?
We've actually already met it at
the
country.
But the point is we need to then keep reporting how much more. That's
really what you need to say.
We're not using that as a benchmark. We're using that as purely as a reporting mechanism,
not
as a benchmark.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, if I could just ask Elkhart to maybe respond to the other issue raised by Honorable Zikalala in terms of water being life and the issues relating to water supply in the rural areas. And maybe reference that, Elkhart, to the work that we're doing with rural development in terms of the 21 identified DMs and the critical local authorities within those 21 DMs.
Chair, thank you. Coming back, when we look at a national figure, and I think that's where honorable member is quite correct, the national figure, which is a national average, may look good as 98%, but when you zoom into a specific district, I know there are specific districts where the backlog is still 40%. So it actually emphasizes the point that you made, Honorable Member. So the 21 district municipalities are those 20 DMs with the biggest backlog. So there's a joint effort coordinated by Department of Rural Development to focus on those 20 DMs, and we are part of that task team to focus and zoom in on those 20 rocks.
Thanks, Chair.
That's the kind of project we want to see. To concentrate on those that can't help themselves.
Chair, that project has just been initiated about 3-4 weeks ago, where we had a meeting with led by Minister Quinty. We had all of the executive mayors and the municipal managers in a workshop up in Gauteng, and through that particular outcome of that workshop, there's the process that will run as a, if I could call it, the political process with the executive mayors and the minister, and then there's parallel with that a technical aspect which will be coordinated by the heads of department of the relevant departments. So I would be part of that senior management component, and be supported at the technical level with individuals like Gerhard Muller and the team that go in looking at the technical issues. There's a need for us to report regularly on the work there. But we're in there as a participant and supporting the process. Chair, if I could just come to the questions that you raise. First of all, with regard to the BPR, once again, I wouldn't like to overstep the mark with regard to ministers' role at the BPR, but the inception report, and it might be a bit of a misnomer in terms of calling it an inception report, but it's a report of the findings of the first 2 months with some recommendations, is due to be submitted and discussed with Minister within the next week or so. The engagement that I had with the BPR members last week, they were just putting the final touches on that report. And I'm sure that Minister will
and
share.
What would that kind of cover?
It's going to cover their initial environmental scan, and the focus areas in terms of the initial environmental scan was looking at the HR, the deficiencies in the way we are dealing with HR and the way that HR supports the department and the capacity gaps, focus around the water trading entity, if we could call it, look at it that way, and that would be looking both at the finance side and also the infrastructure branch. There's the issues relating to ICT. They're also looking at issues relating to the work that we're doing around the legislative mandate and the legislative changes going forward, and it touches on the issue you raised around the some of the old policy positions that have come through from 94, as we call them. We'll make reference to them as the sunset provisions, and how we deal with those.
Can I give this slide?
Yeah, I think I've covered.
So you can also, I mean, I'll also raise it with Minister, but as soon as Minister's got a report that we can, it will really be important to share it with the committee. We're a little bit fishing in the dark at the moment, and we don't know. We know there are problems, but we don't really know. And we know that there's a process, and we support the process. There's not any criticism of that. It's just that we're sitting in the dark. It's difficult to know where we have to engage if we don't know what answers are going to happen and when.
Chair, your disappointment with regard to the appointment of the CFOs, and in particular the water trading one, I note your disappointment, but I could just indicate that we're on the third iteration with the person we're trying to secure. As we've gone through, having screened and found the individual took up another long-term contract, or the second one taken up a senior position within another organization, which precludes the person from being seconded. So it wasn't, hasn't been as a result of lack of application, but we just missed some very competent individuals with them taking up other opportunities.
that your disappointment here is noted, and I'm feeling quite sore about it myself as well. The water use licensing, we've just discussed that, and I take the notes and the points you've raised in terms of us giving you a position that converges. My position in terms of dealing with the backlog still stands. The legislative process, I've just referred to that with regard to the BPR, and we'll see something coming out there. With regard to the regulations, and this I understand is on with regard to the meters, Johard is telling me that the submission in that regard is en route to my office, if it hasn't reached my office. So, Chair, if I could...
It looked like that file. One of the files, like these backup ones, that disappeared into a drawer. No one can find it. It's now popping out like a little rat out of every little hole. Because this file is also, this regulation has taken forever to get to the DG. Alphard, we asked for an input in July. We then said, okay, we won't take the input. And these things were en route. Now you're telling me it's still en route. I was wondering, did this go via Vietnam? Is it part of the MOU? Part of the MOU we signed in Vietnam. Unfortunately, we stuck this file also to the MOU in Vietnam. Those Vietnamese didn't know it, but they just signed off on a set of regulations for our irrigation.
And now you guys have to run rhino poaching.
All right, well, look, let's hope, DG, that it does reach you in this millennium still. And I've given a lot of space to it. Not just say this year, but this millennium. And, okay, next issue.
Chair, I think I have covered all of the issues as I noted them, unless I've missed anyone. Thanks, Chair.
And I think that covers the most. In any case, we can, as we do the financial stuff, if there are further questions on some of this, it's fine. Okay, let's try and take the input on finances quickly. I know some people have to leave at 12:30, so we've got half an hour at least to take that input. And then we can ask questions after lunch. Well, let's take it as far as we can take the input for half an hour. Who's giving the...
Chair, I'm going to turn it over to Acting CFO Tavi Singh from the Kubi. And if I could just ask your indulgence to just take a body break while she starts and does the presentation.
Yeah, no, you can, happily. And the other of you can't.
Thank you, Chairperson, and the members of the committee. I present to you the financial performance of the department for the period under review, 2010 and 2011 financial year. The first slide just indicates the tie that we received in terms of the budget that was allocated to us. In the expenditure that was spent, we at the end of the financial year we spent 96.5 of the budget that was allocated to us. That left us with 3.5 unspent budget.
What was this? 3.5%. What does it comprise of? What did we not spend?
The 3.5, there are several reasons that are contributing to the unspent. Part of the 3.5 would have been the accrual that at 31st of March we were sitting at 63 million. Should we have paid those invoices? by the time of reporting, we would be sitting at 97.2%, meaning that we would have not spent our allocated budget by 2.8. Part of the reasons that has caused the non-spending would have been the delay in terms of...
Now, don't give me the reasons. I first want to know, look, it's 290 million.
Yes.
I first want to know, what does that comprise of? Let's say 50 million is like environmental affairs. 80 million they saved, had a saving on the vessel they bought. So that's the reason they haven't spent. So that's what I want to know. Dr. Reuters didn't spend 100 million on his infrastructure budget. That's the kind of thing I want to know, the detail of what makes up the 200 million. 290 million.
The 290 million is made out of the current payment, that is 143 million, and the transfers and subsidies of 48 million. Those are the transfers to the municipality, and as well as the payment of capital assets. And out of the 290 million, we have strived to apply for a rollover, which the amount of 234 was applied for a rollover, and however, 145 was what has been allocated to the department, which means it would have left the department if that money would have been spent. We would have surrendered the amount of 144, which would have led to 1.8.
Yeah. Now, give me a breakdown of the what? The 143 million you said. That was for what?
The 145 million, that was the rollover. The breakdown, you will find it in the next slide, which gives a detail of all the issues that have been applied for the rollover. That is the details of the 234 that is forming part of the 290 that has been surrendered, and what has been approved was 145.
You've got a breakdown somewhere of the 290 million.
There is a breakdown before this slide.
Go to it.
That is the high level breakdown.
Okay,
in terms
so
of the
what those current payments, 143, that's what I'm asking. What is that? What do we spend it on? You put it as current payments, but break it down for me. What is it? 100 million is for this, 10 million is for that. Do you have a breakdown of that?
There is a breakdown because it forms part of the reason of not being spent. So those breakdown is part of the reason that is not being spent.
Okay, well, give me where those reasons. That is here, 290 million. Compensation of employees.
That is the current payment. It contracts.
Now that other slide you had, I think that's the slide. Go to the other one. With the 290, it gives you five different things that make up the 290. No?
That's
no, no, there, you're going too far. There. No, the other one. No. Other way. No.
Same one.
Jumping over the right one.
This same one, the 290.
No, that one.
No, this same
the
one.
Other one. Yeah, whoa. Don't press anything.
Same one. You already looked in the 3 times.
No, that's the same one. No, it's not that one. No, it's not that one.
Go further to the one that will start with 52 million.
Yeah. No. No, don't touch anything. That 52 million there, you didn't spend it on compensation for employees.
Yes.
Because they were
vacancies.
Okay. Then goods and service, 90 million. What was that that you didn't spend it on?
The 90 million, part of it is comprised of the payment that we carried over, which forms part of the accrual. That is 63 million.
Payments for what?
Payments of various service providers that we I have a breakdown of the 63 of the big accounts that we deal with, and part of the big accounts is the travel. We make use of the contract of the traveling in terms of the Pakistan, so that is one of our big accounts.
So why didn't you pay that?
We couldn't pay because by the at the time of the invoices that were with us, we got the cut-off date in terms of the processing of the invoice.
So you received the invoices after they should have been paid, after the cut-off. Okay, the 48 million?
The 48 million is part of the transfers to the municipality. The reason for non-payment, most of the municipalities, they were rejected payments because of the bank details that were not updated. So when we processed the payments, then the payments were rejected because of the bank details.
And the 97 million?
The 97 million is part of the what was budgeted for in terms of the capital, but due to the unfilled of the positions, because when you budget for employment and appointing, you also budget for in terms of the equipment and that you are going to that will service the employees. So the reason for the unspent of the payment of capital assets is for the furniture that were not bought.
Because of vacancy.
Yes.
Now go to the other slide with the rollover money. Yeah. Now, you know, some of the things there really worry me. I mean, I saw somewhere drought relief in the Lamba municipality. 9 million, we didn't pay that over. And you're saying we didn't pay these things to the municipalities because we didn't have the right account number?
Most of the municipalities, yes, there were change of the details, but at the time of changing the details, the National Treasury were not informed in terms of the changing. So when it goes to the mainframe of the National Treasury, then the payment got rejected.
You're telling me that our department didn't pass money on to municipalities who were, for example, drought relief, because we didn't have the right details. Mm. Do you know how that sounds? And do you know how bad it sounds? And there are people, poor people in those municipalities who are struggling to get water, the money was given by government and we didn't pass it to them because we didn't have the right bank details. I'm going to leave it to members to ask questions, but I mean, it's just something devastating for me.
Things like this just shock me. You know, it's money that wasn't spent, but the problem is that there was 43 million that wasn't paid to municipalities because we didn't have the right banking details. And therefore, things like drought relief and Lamban municipality, water service operating subsidy grant in Lapa-Lela municipality, etc., etc. We didn't pay over those amounts because we didn't have banking details, the right banking details. And I'm shocked. You know, I'm actually just stunned. There's two municipalities that we keep walking with their money and we don't give it to them because we've got the wrong details, banking details. Then we have to give the money back to Treasury and now ask it again this year. Wow, what an indictment. Anyway, I'll let members ask questions when we get there. Let's go on. Those rollovers are just devastating.
I understand the other rollovers, the rollovers for vacancies that you can't use, well, that's understandable. But these ones, the municipalities have to be stunned. Okay, go on.
The following slides will be reflecting on the reasons for understanding. Administration, as I've indicated, is mainly on the service providers not submitting the invoices on time and the unfilled position. In terms of the water management that is on program two, the delays in construction and expansion of the gating work that has caused the expenditure not to move, and it was because of the high flow and floods that was experienced at that time. One of the reasons for water sector regulations was the complexity of cases that has delayed the successful completion of the investigation, particularly on the enforcement and compliance. In terms of regional management, number of the reasons that has contributed to that is the issue of the transfers that I have indicated that could not be processed on time, as well as the delays in signing of the funding agreement between the department as well as the municipalities. I think we have also talked about the issue of the Mlambe and the Mlambe drought intervention project that has started late that would have resulted in the fact that the money that was allocated to them not be spent on time.
Mlambe
is in the Eastern Cape. The following presentation is just a comparison between the two financial years in terms of the spending per category in terms of the high spending in the department.
Sorry, I don't understand what that slide is. Comparison is wrong.
That is the comparison between the two financial years in terms of the economic classification on the spending of in services, the high contributing factors in the business services.
1.2 billion of our budget goes to consultants, contractors, and agencies, and outsourced services. I hope that's not all consultants, at least some of it is at least projects. Yeah, I want to see any case. I want to see a breakdown of your consultancy. You can get it ready. Okay, next one.
Next is the continuation in terms of the goods and services. And then the next slide is the transfers that has been made to our entity, the amount of 180 million that was dispersed to our entity.
And $3 billion we transfer, okay? Next slide.
The next slide gives the total of the amount that has been transferred. That is 3.2 billion.
Bear in mind that 3.2 is at 1.9. So two-thirds of it is transferred within the department from one account to the other.
Then the following slide.
Go back. Look at Swimming South Africa. What is that? The department swimming, trying to get out of the pool.
there was an MOU between the department and Swimming South Africa in terms of a program to try and get safety awareness in terms of activities.
Leave gratuity 17 million, groceries 2 million, and resource to a farm is 30 million.
Okay, next one.
The next slide is just a comparison in terms of the 6 years going backwards. That's where we started. We, from 2005 and 6, we spent our budget at 94.5. The following year, we went down to 92.5. For 7 and 8, it was 91%. 8 and 9, it was 92. For 9 and 10, we spent 98%. And for the year under review, we spent 96.5. That's the end of the presentation in terms of main account.
Main account. All right, are you guys going to the committee? Mm-hmm. All right, let's adjourn then, because it's unfair that some people don't hear the input. We come back, we'll take the input then on the other, all the other financial stuff. So it's just the financials, then we finish. Okay, so we'll come back, take the input on the financial stuff. Try and get me a slide on how much we spend on consultancy and who they are. Okay? Yeah, we'll just show it to me. Just come and show it. 2 o'clock, we'll start 2 o'clock. Okay? That committee is sitting until 2 o'clock. So we'll start here at 2 o'clock again. I think there is going to be food here for you. So.
Yeah, you can get the idea. Yeah, I don't know if that's what you're going to do.